Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for standing by, and welcome to the Shelf Drilling Quarter One 2017 earnings call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I also must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, the 30th of May, 2017. I would now like to hand the conference call over to your speaker, Mr. David Mullen. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and welcome everyone to Shelf Drilling Quarter One 2017 investor conference call. Joining me on the call today is Greg O'Brien, Shelf Drilling CFO. On May 14th, we issued Shelf Drilling Limited financial statement and Shelf Drilling Holdings Limited consolidated financial report and the 10-Q equivalent for Quarter One 2017. We posted these documents to the new public investor page on our company website. We also posted our latest fleet status report on the 28th of May. That includes the contract status for all of our rigs as of the end of April 2017. The recording of this call will be made available on our site within the next few days. Before we begin, let me remind everyone that our call will contain forward-looking statements. Except statements of historical facts, all statements that address our outlook for 2017 and beyond, activities, events, or developments that we expect, estimate, project, believe, or anticipate may or will occur in the future are forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements involve substantial risks and uncertainties that could significantly affect expected results. Actual future results could differ materially from those described in such statements. Also, please note that we may use non-GAAP financial measures in the call today. If we do, you will find supplemental disclosure for these measures and an associated reconciliation in our financial reports. I will provide a brief overview of the company's performance in Quarter One 2017 and share my latest views on the jack-up rig market. I will then hand it over to Greg to walk you through the financials before we open up the floor for a question and answer. During the first quarter of 2017, Shelf Drilling continued to deliver very strong operating and financial results. I would like to start with some comments on our operational performance and in particular, to highlight the performance of the Shelf Drilling Chaophraya, our first new build rig. The total recordable safety incident rate at the end of March 2017 was 0.19, and the lost time incident rate was 0.0. Both metrics are considerably better than the industrial averages, and to our knowledge, the best amongst our peer group of companies. Our rigs delivered an operating uptime of 99.1% during Q1 2017. This is our second consecutive quarter with an operating uptime performance north of 99%. Operating execution is an increasingly important prerequisite in securing the contract opportunities that do exist as customers look to partner with contractors with best-in-class execution capability to deliver their wells in a safe and efficient manner. The Shelf Drilling Chaophraya completed its first platform batch drilling of 24 wells with an average time per well of 4.7 days against a target of 5.7 days per well. This translates to an improvement of 18% over the planned time. Chevron continues to be very pleased with the performance of the rig. The Shelf Drilling Chaophraya has demonstrated a seamless transition into operations and a performance that significantly exceeds the stringent benchmarks of Chevron. This clearly demonstrates the value of building a rig customized to the customer and operating environment in the Gulf of Thailand. The Shelf Drilling Krathong, our second new build rig, was delivered to Shelf Drilling Operations on the 6th of April 2017 and remains on schedule to commence its five-year contract with Chevron in the Gulf of Thailand on June the 1st. The two new build rigs were delivered exactly as had been scheduled and budgeted since the signing of the contract in May 2014. This is not a coincidence, but the result of a truly collaborative effort involving Chevron, Lamprell, and Shelf Drilling. I believe we have the best project execution team ever formulated and in the contract drilling space. I fully expect that just like our predecessor, Shelf Drilling Chaophraya, the Shelf Drilling Krathong will also transition into operations in the most seamless manner possible. Strengthening our position as a leading jack-up contractor, we recently acquired three premium jack-up rigs for approximately $225 million. The rig package includes the West Resolute Marathon Laterno Super 116C, the West Triton Baker Marine 375, and West Mischief Marathon Laterno Super 116E. Shelf Drilling's total shallow water rig count will increase from 37 rigs to 40 rigs. As of May 18th, we completed the purchase and delivery of the two of the three jackup rigs, the West Resolute and the West Triton. These rigs have been renamed Shelf Drilling Resourceful and Shelf Drilling Tenacious, respectively. The third jackup rig, the West Mischief, is expected to be delivered to the company during quarter three 2017 upon completion of its current client contract. The transaction reflects our ambition to be the leading jackup contractor globally and is fully aligned with our fit-for-purpose strategy. All three acquired rigs are located in the Middle East, one of the key markets for Shelf Drilling. The rig deal extends our ability to offer more options to our customers, and I am confident that these rigs will secure employment with a number of near-term opportunities that currently exist. Shelf Drilling has financed the acquisition through a private placement of new Shelf Drilling common shares on the Norwegian OTC market. The private placement raised $225 million at a price of $8 per share. Crude oil prices have been volatile over the past 3 months, with Brent index trading as low as $48 in early May after reaching a high of $56 in mid-April. The high inventory levels in the U.S. globally combined with the increase in U.S. light tight shale oil activity acts counter to the OPEC production cuts and the non-OPEC increasing production decline rates and increasing oil demand projections. The current sentiment in the jack-up market is projecting a modest recovery in 2018. Most analysts are projecting a slower recovery in the floater segment and as a result maintain a mixed view on all the large U.S. integrated contract drillers. This optimism in the jack-up market has not translated into a flurry of new fixtures. However, we have seen a pickup in tendering and market inquiry activity in the Middle East, India, Southeast Asia, and West Africa, which we expect will translate into higher utilization in 2018. The day rate environment remains under pressure as all opportunities are highly contested. The Trident 12 completed its program with ONGC in late January following a short extension. The Ron Pratmeyer also had a short extension with ONGC to accommodate the last well in progress before completing its program in mid-March. The Adriatic I commenced operations for Oriental Energy in Nigeria in the month of March. The program will have a minimum of 90 days work with the potential to extend for an additional 120 days. The Kiawai also commenced operations in mid-March for Babco in Bahrain. The rig 124 commenced a short-term contract with the marine service provider in accommodation mode in late March that is expected to end in the coming days. We also secured a short-term extension on the rig 141 for PECO subsidiary Amapetco. The extension is for 75 days and includes two wells. This will keep the rig 141 busy until early August. The total revenue for the quarter fell 6% on a sequential basis from $156 million in Q4 2016 to $146 million in Q1 2017. The adjusted EBITDA increased sequentially from $54 million in Q4 2016 to $70 million in Q1 2017 as a result of our continued push to drive costs lower. The decline in OPEX was primarily due to savings and timing of maintenance, as well as changes in activity. Maintaining a cost advantage over our competitors is paramount to maintaining the positive margins in the current day rate environment. As of the end of 2017, we have 26 rigs contracted out of a total 34 active units, which represents a utilization level of 76%. The 8 idle rigs include Key Gibraltar Compact Driller in Bahrain, Comet in Egypt, Ron Tatmire and Trident 12 in India, Trident 14 and Adriatic 10 in West Africa, and the Trident 15 in Malaysia. All these rigs are warm stacked. These rigs will continue to pursue opportunities in their respective regions. Our total contracted backlog as of the end of April is $1.5 billion, with an average remaining contract duration of approximately 600 days across our contracted fleet of 26 rigs. We continue to see a pipeline of marketing opportunities, principally in Middle East, India, and West Africa, and remain confident that we will secure contracts for several of our idle rigs during the calendar year 2017. With that, I will now hand it over to Greg O'Brien to provide you additional details on the Q1 financial results.
Thanks, David. I'll provide some additional information on the Q1 numbers, as well as our recent equity raise and announced rig acquisitions before we open the call for questions. Despite a 6% drop in revenue relative to Q4 2016, we generated positive free cash flow again in Q1 2017. Revenue for the quarter was $146 million, made up of $138 of day rate revenue, $4 million of mobilization revenue, and $4 million of recharges and other revenue. Average day rates fell a further 3% in Q1 to $68,500 a day from $70,900 a day in Q4. Market utilization was roughly flat with the prior quarter at 70% for Q1 2017. The startup of operations for the Key Hawaii in Bahrain and Adriatic 1 in Nigeria were offset by the contract expiry of two of our rigs with ONGC in India. As David mentioned, operating uptime was 99.1% in Q1, which had a positive impact on our revenue efficiency. The decline in day rates was partially offset by an increase in the marketable rig count from an average of 31.3 units in Q4 to 31.9 in Q1. Our first new build, the Shelf Drilling Tripria, which entered service in December, contributed approximately $13.5 million of revenue in Q1 2017, its first full quarter of operations. Direct rig operating expenses decreased significantly from $76 million in Q4 to $60 million in Q1, primarily due to a reduction in the maintenance line item. Maintenance expenses were approximately $13 million in Q1, down more than $10 million from the quarterly average in 2016. These expenses tend to fluctuate across periods with changes in the level of activity and planned out-of-service time. We didn't have any major projects underway in Q1, which contributed to the lower expense figure for the quarter. In addition, we remain very focused on cost execution and have seen further pricing relief through our supply chain in 2017. Total G&A expenses were $18.2 million for the quarter, down 2% from Q4 2016. This figure includes $8.2 million of local field overhead or shore-based costs, as well as $10 million of corporate expenses. We also released approximately $2 million from provision for bad debt during Q1 following certain customer collections in Egypt. This amount was recorded as a favorable offset to G&A in our financial statements. Adjusted EBITDA increased from $54 million in Q4 to $70 million in Q1 as the decline in day rates and revenue was more than offset by the significant reduction in operating costs. EBITDA margin for the quarter was 48%. Non-new build capital and deferred expenditure was $6 million in Q1, down from $19 million in Q4 2016. Similar to the trend in maintenance expenses, Q1 was a relatively light period for CapEx, major overhauls, and regulatory survey costs. Three of our rigs with Saudi Aramco are scheduled for planned shipyard visits in 2017, and we therefore expect a higher run rate for the remaining quarters of the year. As David mentioned, the Shelf Drilling Krathong was delivered from the shipyard in April and is scheduled to commence its initial five-year contract with Chevron this week. CapEx will be significantly higher in Q2 with the final installment payment at delivery to Lamprell, as well as our related costs for mobilization and operational readiness. These costs will be substantially funded through our facility with ICBC Leasing. The combined balance of the facilities for our two new builds was $243 million as of March 31st, 2017, and is expected to increase by approximately $88 million to a balance of $331 million at the end of June. From that point forward, both rigs will be fully operational and both facilities will function as capital leases. We will make monthly interest and principal payments for both units. Interest expense will be variable at LIBOR plus 400 basis points, and the principal amortization component will be fixed at $17.5 million per rig per year, or approximately $48,000 per rig per day. On our last call, we discussed at length the refinancing transaction that we closed in January 2017. The accounting impacts of the completed deal are reflected in our Q1 results. In accordance with U.S. GAAP standards, the total fees and expenses of $22 million were attributed to the different components of the transaction: the extension of our revolving credit facility, exchange of our second lien notes, retirement of the Midco term loan, and issuance of preferred shares at Shelf Drilling Limited. Approximately 50% of the total costs were capitalized in Q1, and the remaining 50% were expensed across Q1 2017 and full year 2016. There are several differences in the cash flow statements for SDL and SDHL, as certain aspects of the broader refinancing transaction had no direct impact on Shelf Drilling Holdings Limited. Please refer to the footnotes to our Q1 financial statements for more detailed disclosure on the deal. On a consolidated basis at SDL, our cash balance declined by $132 million from $213 at year-end 2016 to $81 million as of March 31st. As highlighted on our last call, we used $150 million of cash in Q1 related to closing of the refi. Therefore, our pro forma opening balance at the start of 2017 was $63 million. Given our strong EBITDA margins and low level of sustaining CapEx, we generated $18 million of positive cash for the period, our fourth consecutive quarter of strong free cash flow generation. As mentioned earlier, we recently completed an offering of common equity at the SDL level. The company issued approximately 28 million new shares at a price of $8 per share, increasing our total issued share count to 83 million. Net proceeds from the offering were $217 million after deducting underwriting fees and related legal and accounting expenses. As of May 5th, the newly issued shares are tradable on the A-list of the Norwegian over-the-counter market under the ticker SHLF. The proceeds from the offering are being used to finance the purchase of three premium jackup rigs, all located here in the Middle East. To date, we have funded $152 million to the seller, representing the full purchase price for the first two units and the deposit for the third unit. We expect to pay the remaining $74 million for the third rig in Q3 2017 upon completion of its existing contract and transfer of title of the rig to Shelf Drilling. Over the last 6 months, we've completed a series of strategic and transformational steps for the company, initially with our refinancing, which further improved our financial position, and now with the recent equity raise and rig purchase. We believe this acquisition significantly enhances our competitive position in one of our core markets here in the Middle East, and we're confident we'll be able to secure backlog and deploy the newly acquired rigs in the near future. During this time, we've remained focused on underlying execution, and we've continued to deliver strong operating performance and financial results thus far in 2017. We are seeing more and more signs of an increase in activity in the shallow water market and a potential uptick in utilization for jackups. The day rate environment remains very challenging, but we believe our cost structure creates a real advantage in competing for available contract opportunities and maintaining solid margins. We will work hard in the coming months to deploy our idle units. Our capital structure and strong current liquidity provide flexibility for us, and we believe the company is very well positioned ahead of a potential jackup market recovery. With that, we'd like to open the call for questions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a reminder, should you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Should you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Once again, that is star 1 should you wish to ask a question. And your first question comes from the line of Martin Carlson from DNB. Please ask your question.
Hi, this is Martin Carlson from DNB. How are you?
Hi, Martin. How are you?
Hi, fine, thanks. So David, first question for you. With respect to the three recently acquired rigs, I wanted to hear your thoughts on timing for when you believe we could put these rigs back on contract.
We're exploring a number of present-day opportunities, so we think it's realistic to assume that we'll anchor a contract before the end of the year for the three units.
And given the operating history on these rigs, is Middle East the most likely region to expect these rigs to work in the future, or are you pursuing opportunities outside that region as well?
We are pursuing opportunities outside the region, but our preference is the Middle East. And as you rightly point out, they have a track record in the Middle East. And in fact, two of them have worked under a Schedule G type of construct. So, yes, we see the Middle East as the prime target.
Thanks. Question for you, Greg. Q1 had a small build-up in accounts receivable despite a slight reduction in revenues quarter over quarter. Have you been able to make some special collections so far in Q2?
Yes, you're right. We did have a build in working capital in Q1. On the receivable side, that actually made up a smaller piece of the total $21 million build in working capital. I think that the primary driver was that Q4 was a particularly good quarter for collections. We had a couple of accelerated collections from some of our bigger customers at year end, and Q1 was a bit slower or more normal, so that's part of the driver. We do have a one-time collection with Aramco that's unique to the contract structure there that typically happens in Q2. So that will be that should be one driver of a positive change in working capital in Q2. Separately, there are a couple other small things. Interest. We had to accelerate some interest payments associated with closing of the refi, so our interest payments exceeded the interest expense in Q1. That was another driver of working capital. And then also some of our annual incentive programs and bonuses get accrued throughout the year and paid one time in Q1. So that is often a positive driver of working capital, but it was actually a negative variance in Q1. So a couple of one-time features that drove that relatively large negative cash flow variance in the first quarter.
Okay, thanks. That's all for me.
Thank you. Once again, that is star one should you wish to ask a question. And your next question comes from the line of Jay Spencer from Stifel. Please ask your question.
Yes. Congrats on the equity raised and a good quarter. I just had a couple of questions about these Aramco rigs. It looks like a few of them are going to be out of service. Perhaps briefly over the next couple of quarters. Could you just comment on what that is, how long they'll be out of service? And I'm just trying to get a sense how that might impact rig revenues. Thanks.
So, yes, every with Aramco, every 3 years, we have a recertification and ammogram testing of the well control equipment and some of the drilling equipment. So this is a periodic out-of-service time that's routine within the Aramco contracting model. The out-of-service time we project is 60.
Yeah. About 60 to 90 days per rig.
60 to 90 days per rig.
And I mean, this is normal course. Two of our six rigs had these projects last year. It's a slightly higher concentration in 2017 that we have three of our rigs scheduled for projects. One of the projects just started a couple of days ago, so there's one that'll primarily hit in Q2, and they're sequenced through the rest of the year. A second rig is in the third quarter, and the main pass four, the third rig, is scheduled to enter the yard in the fourth quarter of this year.
Okay, thanks. That's all I had.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, that is star one should you wish to ask a question. And your next question comes from the line of Roman Ivanov from ICE Canyon. Please ask your question.
Hello, good afternoon. I have a couple of questions on the fleet status report, and I apologize if you've made some comments on those earlier. I joined the call late. I wanted to ask about the Key Hawaii, and I see here you've said the customer has a six-month option, and the rig is listed as working between March and September 2017. Does this period refer to this option, or is this rig working right now? Can you clarify?
Yes, this rig is working in Bahrain under a integrated service project with Schlumberger for BAPCO, which is the national oil company in Bahrain.
Right, and the six-month option is after this September date?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. I was wondering on the Key Manhattan, so the rig has been a special standby rate for some time, and that ends at the end of 2017. I mean, do you have any expectations on what should happen afterwards with this contract and with any?
The rig is firmly contracted for a three-year period following that holiday period. So that rig will remain under contract with Eni in the Adriatic Sea for a period of 3 years following the holiday period.
And does that mean that the rate will be restored back to, you know, $94,000 or whatever it was contracted at for?
Yes, that's directionally correct. And just for information, there is a possibility the rig starts up in sometime earlier than January 2018. January 2018 is the latest date at which the rig will start back. But
I see.
We have some expectation it may start a bit earlier.
Yeah, okay, I see. And on the there's a couple of rigs with ONGC, Harvey Ward and JT Angel. It seems like they might have the contracts are expiring in May. I mean, you know, probably have already expired earlier this month. I was wondering if you have any expectations as to, you know, are these rigs tendering for work? Should we kind of expect them to be idle for some time? Can you kind of tell us what we should expect for the Indian assets?
ONGC fully expects to recontract back to the same number of rigs that they had operating 6-9 months earlier. These are rigs that are rolling off contract, and ONGC to date have issued a tender for 8 rigs. We imagine that tender submission and tender award will be after the monsoon period, so we're looking at an idle period that will run till October, November of this year.
Yeah, right. Correct. So those two contracts have now expired. So we have the four rigs that rolled off contract between January and the end of May are now sort of near shore in Mumbai. They will have reduced cost on those rigs for this idle period, and we're hopeful and confident we'll put them back on the long-term contracts with ONGC before year end. I think that's something we'll know more about here in the next couple months. But those four rigs are stacked in a cluster and will be for at least several months through the middle of 2017.
Okay. So you, as I understood it, did you say October, kind of around, you know, Q3, call it time frame, you expect these four rigs to be recontracted again?
That's what we're expecting. That's what we're targeting, yes. I mean, there can always be some delay to the ONGC process, but if everything goes as it's currently planned, we would expect them to be back on contract October, November.
Yeah. I think the start date, Q4, is probably the earliest. There's a reasonable chance we'd know something in terms of an award before then. But, yeah, I don't think the rigs would return to work before Q4.
I see. Okay. That makes sense. And I guess the other region where you have some idle assets is West Africa. I mean, there's a couple of rigs there that are currently listed as idle. I was wondering kind of in light of the comments that you made about improving tendering activity, I mean, are you seeing that picking up in West Africa as well? Or is it mostly in India and in the Middle East, which are your core markets?
No, we're also seeing some pickup in activity in West Africa. And look, you know, there's been a big slowdown in activity in West Africa, principally because the IOCs had long-standing cash calls, receivable balance with NAFAMS and NNPC. And it seems there's been a pretty productive dialogue around the past receivables, and there's some constructive dialogue around future cash calls, backstopping this with some kind of bank facility. And look, if that all plays out, we're quite optimistic that we'll see a good level of activity return to Nigeria. And we're mm-hmm. also seeing some level of market inquiries in the neighboring countries. We see stuff coming up in Gabon. We see stuff coming up in other countries around the Equatorial Plate region. So, yes, we're expecting some return in activity to West Africa.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you once again. Should you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. We have no more questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay, operator, if there are no further questions, we'll conclude the call at this. And I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank everybody for joining us on our investor conference call. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.